All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and a prayer of illumination before I read the word and get into our message this morning. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we just lift you up as we share in worship this day of the reign of Christ. We come to you, Lord, and we ask that you be with us as we share in Scripture and the writings from Paul to the church of Corinth and also the message that has been prepared for us. Let it be used to nourish our spirit, strengthen our souls, and give us a solid foundation in our life in you. We ask all these things now in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll be reading now the New Living Translation this morning. This is a portion of 15. We're going to read 15, 1 through 8, and I'm going to skip into 12 through 19. So if you're reading along with me in your personal Bibles, that's fine. This will talk about specifically about a letter, the full letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth, and this is about the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you stand in it firm today. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as Scripture declared. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection from the dead? For it is there is no resurrection of the dead. Then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that Christ was raised by God from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you will still be guilty of your own sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in this world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today, your message is entitled Prelude. Today is the last Sunday of our church year. I know that you're thinking that I've actually lost my track of calendar, but I haven't. Thanksgiving has obviously come and now gone, and here we are in the last Sunday of the Christian calendar. Many of us have overlooked it for many years, including myself. Today is that last Sunday in the church calendar that kicks off next week, perhaps, is a way to say it. It's a prelude to what we celebrate in the coming weeks. Next week begins the season of Advent, when we focus on the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thus, the first Sunday of Advent is the first Sunday of the church year, and here we sit. To be honest, this is a weird kind of Sunday for me. It's actually a weird Sunday to prepare for. It feels like we are stuck in the middle of something. Last Sunday, we were talking about Thanksgiving and the goodness and all of the great things that that brings. And we should be, and we are, in fact, today going to begin our preparation for Advent. Our whole emphasis for the next coming month will be on the birth of Jesus Christ. And in fact, it actually begins following worship this morning, which for me is my personal and favorite time of the year. But just in a matter of 6 short days, this church is going to undergo a facelift, a massive one indeed. We conclude worship this morning. We begin with an Advent workshop, and somewhere in the next 6 days, we will decorate this place, and this church will be as beautiful as it ever is in any season that we share in our faith here at Bethel, like most churches who decorate for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this morning, here we are in the middle of these two holidays, these two very important holidays, winding things up in anticipation of a season that's truly in front of us. Most every year, given the magnitude of the season, we overlook and have, and me personally have overlooked this Sunday. But I caution us not to do that, as it is a crucial Sunday in our understanding of the Advent season. Over the next few weeks, you'll know and you will hear familiar things. You'll hear sermons that talk about joy and hope and all those things that we share in the Advent season. And then you'll share in the music that we all so love. You know what you will see forthcoming is it already in the decorations. You've seen them before, but yet you look forward to the opportunity to see them again. And all the symbolism of Christmas brings us great joy. You will hear about the baby Jesus, born in a manger, coming to bring peace to the earth. You will see literature proclaiming joy to the world. You will hear songs that tell about the silent night. You will see a manger scenes that reenact the empty stable in which received Jesus that lonely Christmas Eve night. Trees will go up in homes and churches if they haven't already, which represent the eternal life that Jesus comes to bring each one of us this day. Christmas is a magical time for many people, filled with peace and joy and love of family and friendship, a time that we look forward to and we find great hope in. But friends, we're not there yet, not at least today. We're here on this Sunday before Advent season to celebrate something very important. This Sunday gives us real meaning behind it all. Today, before we bake all the goods and make all those meals, we need to celebrate something very important. Before we sing those carols, before we get to the beginning of Jesus' life, we have to wrap up the life that we celebrated this past year. All the things we've done since last Advent. That's what today's about. In order to get to the beginning of the church year, we have to spend just a little bit of time at the end. And perhaps the most important time we spend together is today. Most every year, given the magnitude of the season before us, we become stressed and we share in great anxiety. Today should bring you great peace for what is to come. Here's what worries me about Christmas and the celebration of Advent. For many people, their entire encounter with Jesus Christ will revolve around the events that will be remembered in the next few weeks. Their entire encounter with Jesus will only come in 1 month. They will remember the beautiful story of the virgin giving birth to a precious child. They will respect the husband who was willing to give his wife the benefit of the doubt to carry that child and to care for her while that child was born. People will consider the visitors who came to see this young child. They will remember the shepherds. They will remember the noble wise men who came to give the gifts. To the majority of the people in the world, the story of Jesus is just that. It's all bound up into Advent. A pleasant story, one that we enjoy ourselves, but for most of the world, it's just a story. It's a beautiful story. And what's scary is, for me, I believe some people believe it's just a myth. It's something we celebrate, and it's just that. A beautiful story that we celebrate because we receive benefit from it. But here's the truth. Factual truth. A man was born under incredible circumstances to bring a message of joy and peace to a difficult world. A man lived and urged us all to live better and be better. The Jesus that most people will know as the church year begins will never grow up. You see, they will build their whole faith around 1 month. And they will celebrate a child and they will put a child to rest at the end of December. And he'll never be the Jesus we need to celebrate and live with and be guided by. He will forever remain a child in a manger to those people. All around the world, people are digging out their manger scenes as I speak. They will lovingly place all the figurines on tables and mantles in their homes. The shepherds, the sheep, the wise men, Mary and Joseph. And then they will take great time to place with great care baby Jesus right in the middle. And that's where they will remain, and he will remain solidified in that scene and only that scene. In about a month, they will pack all those decorations up for one last time. And one of the last things they will pack up, likely, not to be seen for yet another year, will be baby Jesus. Wrapped in newspaper and placed back in the box for another year in the closet. In the hearts of many people, the same thing will happen this coming month. And what's concerning for me is the same thing will happen at the end of the month. Jesus will be taken out of storage for 1 month in a calendar year. But when he's placed back in storage, he will still be a little baby in a manger. He will not be the God, the saving God that you and I know and we need to know in this world. So here at the end of the church year, we need to remember the rest of his life. That's our purpose today. We need to remember his love for God's word, even at his young age of 12, when he shocked old men in the temple with his wisdom. We need to remember that Jesus. We need to remember his love to everyone he met, from the lowly fisherman to the rich young ruler who couldn't give up his money. We need to remember the Jesus that was compassionate for the sick, the lonely, the sinner, and certainly the shepherd that left for the one lost and left the 99 behind. We need to remember all of those great things. We need to remember his miracles. How he walked on water, calmed the storms, fed the multitude, healed the sick, and turned water into wine. We need to remember the passion that he had for so many things. He could weep just like you and I could openly. He could laugh heartily just like you and I can today. And rant and rave just like you and I can today. And his issues were self-righteousness and hypocrites. That's the Jesus we need to remember. We need to remember the tender things, the meals he shared with his disciples, the hours he spent in prayer, and his intimate talks with many others. We need to remember the Jesus that built the foundation of the very church you set in this morning. But most of all, here at the end of his life, we have to remember the reason he came to earth. The reason we celebrate next week and the weeks beyond. He wasn't just a healer. He wasn't just a preacher. He wasn't just a good example and a good shepherd. He wasn't just a prophet. He was a sacrificial lamb. He was born to die for you and for me. He was a sacrificial lamb. The plan for his life from the very beginning ended up at the cross. Anything less would have been insufficient for the life we so deserve, but yet we will not see. The head that bowed in prayer would be crowned with thorns. That's the things we need to remember. The mouth that spoke with such love and peace would later be twisted in agony. The heart that beat with such compassion would later be placed on a cross and speared with human hands in agony. The hands that gave sight back to the blind would later be torn with steel spikes. The feet that walked so many miles to bring good news to the world, to start the church, to see the very faith that you and I have, would be crushed with sledgehammers. The voice that called the dead from the grave would cry out himself in anguish and ask God for mercy. That's who we need to remember today. I should really apologize for being such a Debbie Downer this morning, so close to Christmas, following a wonderful holiday such as Thanksgiving, but I can't. I am your earthly shepherd, at least for this moment, and I'm called to remind you of the meaning of the season. I'm called to remind you of the meaning of this day. Here at the end of the church year, as we celebrate Jesus' life, it is my duty and my responsibility to describe to you the prelude of hope. Many times we come into worship in this chapel, in this place, in this house of God, and Joanne is brilliantly playing a prelude, and many of us can leave that very same Sunday and couldn't tell you the song she played. We missed it. Not that we didn't hear it, but we missed it. Don't miss this today. Don't miss this prelude of hope. Jesus' life did not end on a sad note, nor does the church year. The last message of Jesus' life is not just a wonderful life which began in a manger, but it's not a tragic life that ended on a cross either. My last sermon to you in this calendar, in this church calendar, cannot be without a prelude of hope. My last sermon must begin where his life began, in an empty stable. The tomb where Jesus was laid to death would soon be emptied as well. Only 3 days after he was laid there, we must remember on this day of all days that the last word of Jesus' life is one of resurrection. Although we celebrate with great joy his birth, it is through his birth that we receive the resurrection. It is through his birth that we are here today. Jesus' life is not just about the story of a birth. Jesus' life is not about a wonderful man who preached great philosophy and touched many lives as an example to all of us. Jesus' life is not about the tragic death of a martyr either. No, Jesus' life is all about a glorious resurrection. It is all about the bounty of eternity given to us through His victory over death. Jesus' life, the good news of the gospel, is the defeat of death and sin. That's what we celebrate today. The message that we have to rejoice over is not that Jesus was born, but that He died and rose again. That's what we celebrate today. God became man, died the death we deserved, and rose as the first fruits of the grave, as Scripture told us this morning. Without this truth, we have nothing to celebrate in the month to come. We must recognize this as we trudge long and hard into the Advent season. I preach this message today because it's my duty to make sure you do not lose sight of this morning's meaning. You don't lose sight of Jesus' life as we celebrate the beginning of it. We lovingly know it to be Christmas, and it brings us great joy. But there would be no joy without today's celebration. I want us to remember as we unpack this little baby Jesus from the packing paper of last year, that without the resurrection of Christ, we have no reason to celebrate. In fact, Christ's birth would be a tragedy when you consider the death that He endured for me and you, but it's not. But when we consider the empty tomb of Christ's resurrection, we know the rest of the story can only be positive, something for us to rejoice into. Friends, the empty manger that received baby Jesus is the prelude to the empty tomb for which our Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, conquered. And in that conquering, He saved us. You cannot truly celebrate Christmas and Christ coming to earth as a baby if you are not prepared to meet Him as He returns as a victorious King. This is about your heart. Today's about your relationship with Him. Who are you? Perhaps this year, as you pack up the infant Jesus when Christmas is over and the nativity scene is no longer needed in your home or on your mantle or in the prominent places of your house, perhaps you leave something empty there to remember why you celebrated Christmas in the first place. Christmas is because it's fun, it's joyful. As I said before, we celebrate a risen Lord. We celebrate the arrival of our Lord and King. But what we need to recognize is that He's returning soon. And just as the empty manger received Him, so should your heart be to receive Him today. For without it, you will not receive the promises. Here's your takeaway this morning. As willing as that empty manger was to receive baby Jesus on that cold and winter night on Christmas Eve, your heart has to be as open and as warm to receive His wisdom, His knowledge, His grace, His mercy, His love, His kindness, and all the goodness that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ, because He is the King of Kings, and that is what we celebrate this morning. And when our hearts are open, just like that open manger, when our hearts are ready to receive Him just like the manger received Him as an infant child, that is called saving grace. And by it, you and I have eternal life. That's what we celebrate today. Before we crack open the containers of decorations and eat the meals and share in the fellowship, which are all important, let us remember what the manger signifies. Let us remember that the empty manger is a prelude to the empty tomb for which we are saved. Amen.